Amen. Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence this morning. We ask you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be walking through Psalm 37. I normally say, get your blue Bibles out, but today I'm just going to say, keep your service leaflet open because you've got Psalm 37 right in front of you. I am going to ask you to grab a pencil or a pen, something to write with. There are some pencils in the pew racks in front of you. This is going to be a participatory sermon, so you'll want to maybe take a note or something. So get something to write with if you want to participate. Now, as you're looking at verse 37, or Psalm 37, verse 1, what's the first word in this psalm? Fret. It begins with a term not widely used in our modern vernacular. You don't see many action movies where the star of the movie is told not to fret. We just don't hear it very often. So when you think of fretting, what does it mean to fret? This is a real question. Stress, worry, what else?
Fear,
that's right. I think of fret, wringing of hands, frustration maybe. Everyone experiences fretting at some point in daily life. Some of you may, perhaps more than others. And with this sense of fretting before us, I have a confession to make before you. I've been full of fret. I think I can use it as a noun. I've been full of fret in the midst of my life in recent months. Past few months have been busy and full, and the pace has bordered on, and at times it has been, frenetic. And in the midst of life and ministry, I work hard on maintaining good mental health through exercise and healthy eating, but that's totally gone out the window. It's been difficult due to this pace of life, and I'm guessing that some of you can probably relate to my feeling of fret. Looking back, I was fretting for many different reasons. I was fretting over time, that there wasn't enough time to get done what I wanted to get done or what I thought I had to get done. I was fretting over relationships. I was feeling at times insecure, at times criticized, at times judged, at times cheated, fretting over different relationships. I was fretting over difficulties, whether mechanical failures of some things or illnesses or setbacks. What I can attest to is that fretting is not fun. Fretting does not give you energy. Fretting is not a producer of health. And fret is what is before us today. It's our F word. Psalm 37 is noted to be a psalm penned by King David. And what does the Lord say through King David about fret? Let's read the first two words of verse 1. Fret not. You don't sound convinced. Can you say that with a little more enthusiasm? Fret not. That's right. Fret not. Fret not yourself because of the ungodly. Fret not is a message that's declared three times by King David at the beginning of this psalm, using the exact same Hebrew words, fret not. Verse 1, we just read it, fret not yourself because of the ungodly. Then verse 7, it begins, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Then it says, do not grieve yourself over the one whose way prospers. In just about every English translation, do not grieve yourself is translated, fret not. It's the same Hebrew word used in verse 1. But in our Psalter, a little more rhythmic, they chose, it's an accurate reading, do not grieve yourself, but it means the same, fret not, same Hebrew word. Then verse 8. We read, refrain from wrath and let go of anger. Fret not yourself, lest you be moved to do evil. If you have your pencil out, I want you to circle those three fret nots. Fret not in verse 1. Do not grieve yourself. Do not grieve. Fret not in verse 7. And then in verse 8, circle fret not yourself, lest you be moved to do evil. Fret is connected by this psalm to the ungodly, to evildoers, to those carrying out evil counsels and prospering as they do evil. So this is a sense of fretting over evil people, over evil behavior. Perhaps in your own life, you can think about fretting over those who cheat, fretting over those who cut in line, who break the rules, who stretch the truth and succeed at the cost of others. We fret over those things, fretting about those who cut you down. Other terms for this sense of fret about bad people who seem to thrive and succeed might be jealousy, envy, worry. We talked about anxiety or fearfulness, but none of those words that we've discussed come even close to the true meaning of the Hebrew word chara. Say that with me. It comes from your throat. Chara. That's the Hebrew word translated fret in most English Bible translations. So I looked at the Jewish translation. The Jewish Tanakh translates chara, do not be vexed. That clears it up for you, right? Okay, what does it mean to be vexed? Confused? Angry, annoyed. Now we're getting somewhere to what the Hebrew truly means here. Look at verse 8. This captures what chara means, where in verse 8, we read, refrain from wrath. Let go of anger. Fret not yourself. Chara is literally translated in the Hebrew commentary to burn or blaze with anger, to be incensed with anger. Fret not here would better be translated rage not. Well, that certainly changes the way you look at this scripture, doesn't it? From fret not to rage not. Don't be hot with anger. Anger towards evil or anger towards those who don't follow the rules. In context here, we're looking at anger towards those who do not follow God's rules for living. The evildoers and the ungodly in picture in Psalm 37 are those who scoff at the Lord's ways. They follow other gods. They're law-breaking. And they're even wronging God's people as they live. Well, with that in mind, you might think, you know, this fretting and anger, this is a righteous anger. It's deserved wrath towards these wrongdoers who are against God or against God's people, those who oppose the Lord's ways and the Lord's people. But that's not what the Lord says here. In this psalm, he clearly says, fret not. Let's read verse 8 together. Refrain from wrath and let go of anger. Fret not yourself, lest you be moved to do evil. Now, how might fretting and anger move someone, as verse 8 declares, to do evil? Well, you might picture someone lashing out at the evildoers, lashing out at the wrongdoers, whether physically or maybe on social media, lashing out in anger. Speaking for myself, it takes a different flavor. When I'm full of chara, when I'm fretting and I can't stop, I tend to try to make it stop. Perhaps briefly I'll say, God, take this away. God, clear my head. Help me not to fret. But quickly I give up if it doesn't go away fast. I turn to other things. I tend to self-medicate. And for me in this season of life, that means emotional eating. Eating anything that I can find or getting lost in media. Ask anyone in the office when I'm having a not so good day if they should get between me and a muffin. They know better. But I may just get lost in media. Try to medicate my brain. But neither of these actions help. They just push my fretting down the road to be picked up later, perhaps with a little bit of remorse or indigestion over what it was that I ate. Fretting can and it will move one into doing evil. In your life, how do you self-medicate? Perhaps when you're fretting and you can't make it stop, it's alcohol or media. Perhaps it's with food or pornography. But we know none of these things will stop fretting. It's a dead end. Speaking again for myself, when I'm fretting, it's also very difficult to stop fretting. Because fretting leads to more fretting. I don't find myself fretting not, I fret a lot. Fretting about one thing leads to anxiety about something else, and then anxiety, worry, or jealousy about something else. And around it goes, building up to anger and rage about more things. Fretting leads to more fretting. I see some of you nodding. Just this past weekend, I was really working hard this past Friday and Saturday to unplug and to rest, to let go of the many details and stresses that I had been carrying, to let go of all of my fretting. And I was making some headway when on Saturday, I made the poor choice to glance at social media. And I saw something there that upset me. Very quickly, like that, I was then angry. I think you can probably relate. When you're fretting, the fuse time from fret to anger is not long. It's very short. Fretting leads to anger, whether anger at others or anger at traffic or anger on social media. My anger over this post boiled over into jealousy and my own feelings slighted, into self-pity, righteous judgment. Soon, I was then fretting over other things, and I was in this deep hole of miserable, angry fretting, and I realized I couldn't get out. I was having a good day, and now I'm spiraling around. I would try to let go of one thing, but something else would grab me, and I continued to circle around in misery like a whirlpool, but probably more aptly called a toilet. I was spiraling down. My very wise wife, Kim, realizing that I was spiraling into a deep hole of chara, of fret, she tried to help, but she couldn't pull me out. And that's when she got out her pointy finger and said, "You've got to call somebody. You need help. You need to call your people." Now, who are my people? Well, those are the three or four people with whom I'm accountable, that I share all of my struggles with and when I'm really in a bad place, and they share the same thing. And together, we encourage one another. We don't leave anything unsaid. In those dark moments, it's someone that you can go to. And so, heeding my wife's direction, I made two calls. And each call first yielded questions to me. What are you feeling? And speaking of truth, well, in my hole, it just felt like they were shoveling dirt on my head. It was not helpful and not enjoyable. But then as they continued to ask questions and continued to speak truth, they led me to the different perspective that I needed to lift me out of the hole. They led me to a reminder that the Lord who redeemed me and loved me is not done with me and is not done working on me. And I was able to climb out and live into that refreshed perspective. They reminded me that I am one in whom God dwells and delights. I didn't have to receive all that this fretting whirlpool was serving to me. They also reminded me that the kingdom of God is not in trouble, so neither are you, neither am I. And with that renewed perspective, I began to receive the molding and shaping that the Lord was doing to me. In my fretting, it was all about other people and what they had done, when in fact, God was trying to get at something in my own heart. And I couldn't receive it. I couldn't even identify it without the help of others. I found that it's almost impossible to end a cycle of chara, of fret, on your own. You all need to have people that you can be honest with. People who can be honest with you, people of faith who will speak God's truth to you and remind you of who God is and who you are. And those people around you are your church. But you need to be willing to make that call. Thankfully, as we see in Psalm 37, God doesn't simply say to us, "Fret not, get over it, move on." He knows it's not that simple. He knows that we can't do that. He knows that we're hopeless on our own without Him. We're no better than the ungodly evildoers mentioned in Psalm 37. He knows, God knows, that only in Him, through His help, will we be able to climb out of the hole of fretting, of anger, of misery. And we see that in His words to us through this psalm. The Lord, through this scripture, declares, verse 1, you see that there on your service leaflet, "Fret not." And then He gives us four action steps in the ensuing verses, which will help you to fret not. The first action step comes in verse 3. Put your trust in the Lord. If your pencil or pen is out, I invite you to put a box around that. First step, put your trust in the Lord. Trust in Him, not in anything else. You can't figure this out on your own. Trust in the Lord. He is worthy of your trust. First action step. Second one comes in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Put a box around that with your pencil. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's the last thing you want to do when you're in a hole of fret and misery and anger. But yet, we're told to delight in the Lord. Now, this in the Hebrew literally means to take exquisite delight. And the Hebrew translator wrote, to be pampered and happy. This is a joyful, happy, delighting in the Lord God, your Savior. Not easy to do. But when you begin to do that, it can transform your perspective. Rejoice, worship, party in the Lord's presence. Delight in the Lord, and He'll begin to transform your fretting. Verse 5 is our third action step. Commit your way unto the Lord. Box that. Put a square around it. Commit your way to the Lord, putting your trust in Him. Don't go the way that you think to. Commit that to the Lord. And then verse 7, this is perhaps the hardest one. Be still before the Lord. Put your final square around that. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We see all of this happening in our Old Testament reading from Habakkuk. How many people frequently preach on Habakkuk? But that's what we heard in our reading today. Where Habakkuk is saying, "Lo, Lord, how long shall I cry to you for help and you will not hear? Or cry violence and you will not save?" He's fretting. He's fretting about the condition Israel is in, God's people are in. And he's saying, "God, you've ignored us." He's crying out in his anger. He goes on to say, "Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent?" But then he practices this being still before the Lord and waiting. Because in chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk says, "I will take my stand at the watchpost. I will station myself on the tower. I will look out to see what he will say to me and what will answer concerning my complaint. And then the Lord answered, write the vision. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. If it seems slow in coming, wait for it. The Lord promises that he will answer, but he doesn't say it's going to happen fast. And that's what we read there in verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not. These are the steps that I needed to take, but I could not get there on my own. My closest friend, Kim, my wife, she couldn't get me there either. And as we unpacked the situation later, we realized it was because she was too close to my hole of fretting. Some of the things that I was fretting about, she was stirred up about too. So she'd try to lift me out, but then we'd both start to fret and we'd both spiral down. She was too close to the hole. Sometimes some of our closest friends may not be able to help us out, and we need to reach out to someone who's not in the hole or not near the hole, who can help you with perspective. And that's what I had to do. I had to reach out to my people who were in their unique ways, asked questions, spoke truth, and helped remind me that I had to take my eyes off the circumstances and I had to put my eyes squarely back on the Lord, to put my trust in him for everything, to delight in him, to commit my ways and my direction to him, and then finally to be still before him and to wait patiently. I had to resist the impulse to jump into my own action, jump into my own fixing, and wait on the Lord. So with this before you today, where are you fretting? Where do you have fret in your life? Where are you perhaps stuck in a cycle of chara, of fretting? I want to encourage you today to take your bulletin. Hopefully you've written on it, but if not, take it anyway. Post the scripture somewhere where you're going to see it and see it regularly, or put it in your car, not where it'll just go underneath all the rest of the stuff like it would in my car. Put it somewhere where you can look at it, where it will remind you that when you find yourself fretting, you can return to these promises. When you realize you're in a hole you can't get out of, then also reach out to your people, because you have people of faith in your church body who will come alongside you. But that takes risk. I had to risk. I had to say to the woman that I called and the man that I called, I'm really struggling, and I know this is going to sound petty, but this is what I'm dealing with, and allow them to speak into my life. Allow those people to speak God's word to you in the midst of whatever you're fretting about, because fretting will lead to anger, which can lead to despondency. Ultimately, fretting can lead to rage and the death of one's joy and hope and faith. So this morning, fret not. Can you say that with me? Fret not. Fret not yourself, lest you be moved to do evil. Rather, trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord, and then be still before him, and he will revive you and refresh you. Look at the end of verse 11. I want you to underline verse 11. But the meek-spirited, those who have done God's four action steps, shall possess the land and shall be refreshed with an abundance of peace. And that's where we end today. Let's read verses 10 and 11 together. It reminds us, while the ungodly, while there's lots of stuff to fret over, if you turn to the Lord, he will refresh you. Please stand as we read verses 10 and 11 together. Yet a little while, and the ungodly shall be clean gone. You shall look for their place, and they shall not be there. But the meek-spirited shall possess the land and shall be refreshed with an abundance of peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.